Hey guys, welcome back to the Stingers and Dingers podcast. This week we do have a really, really packed episode with some good stuff from the tour. We have some really fun charity stuff with Jeff Ogilvy, and then we also have some club news. This is about the time of year when people start releasing clubs to make room for the holidays. So stay tuned for a packed episode. But before we get into that, I did want to apologize for the lack of episodes. Work has been pretty hectic, so I haven't been, had the time to do it as much, and I want to get back to some consistency. So I do apologize for that, but let's get into today's episode. So first, to start off, Jon Rahm did get the Race to Dubai Cup. He did complete, I think it's the Rolex series out in Europe. And did end up winning. He ended up having to bury the last hole to beat Tommy Fleetwood. This was a pretty interesting one in general too, because Jon Rahm did decide not to play two of the events towards the end of the season. That would have given him pretty much a guaranteed win for the cup and put him in a better place than he was now. He had to perform really well in this tournament to win. And it was kind of interesting because all we would have to do is have two decent placements in those other tournaments, and he'd be, having to place middle of the pack to get the cup. But either way, he still performed. I think he's done a really good job of just maintaining his ability to play some of these big tournaments, either in the United States or in Europe. And part of it is just picking his schedule the way he needs it to. And I think it keeps him healthy. It makes sure he's not burnt out, and I think he's done a great job of that. So definitely exciting to see. But congrats to Jon Rahm out on the Euro Tour. So hopping into Sea Island, Georgia for this week's PGA event. It looks like this year, Tyler Duncan ended up winning. So for those who don't know, Brendan Todd was on pace to win his third tournament in a row this week. He won the last two events and did actually have the lead at Sea Island, Georgia for what would be the third straight event. I think the last two people to accomplish that feat were Dustin Johnson and Tiger Woods. So would have been an incredible feat, especially from Brendan Todd, who frankly hadn't had some really good seasons up until this year. Those two starts and two wins in a row definitely giving him the boost he needs, and three would have been pretty damn incredible. But he ended up getting the fourth place spot with a 72 on Sunday. So Tyler Duncan shot 70 on Saturday and followed up with a 61. Or wait, did he follow with 61? I think so. Yep. Looks like a 61 to finish it up. Congrats to Tyler Duncan, newer guy on tour. Excited to see him win that event. On to the next story. So for those of you who don't know, this has been going around on Instagram for the last day or so, but there's a big kind of skins game / tournament that happens at Goat Hill Park in Oceanside every year with some of the pros that are local to San Diego, Jeff Ogilvy, Xander Schauffele, and Chris Riley being three of the main guys there. And I think Dean Wilson played in this as well, but really cool to see. So they went into a playoff for the skins game, and last hole's a shortish par three, and Jeff Ogilvy holed out for a hole in one to win, which is pretty wild. So really, congrats to Jeff for obviously winning the charity match, but super cool that came in on a hole in one. So definitely check that out on Instagram or YouTube if you can find it. It's definitely worth it. I'd recommend it. All right, now hopping into, I guess, part of the club news technically, but for those who don't know, Jason Duffner has officially signed on as a Cobra staffer. This is interesting for a couple of reasons. I think the first thing is that so Jason Duffner has been pretty picky with his bag over the last couple of years. He hasn't had a kind of a premier equipment sponsor for the last couple of years. I think he only stayed on with Titleist for, I think it was gloves and wedges or something. Or no, it was ball and wedges, something like that. He actually ended up playing some National Customs, which were absolutely gorgeous. So shout out to the National Custom guys. But he ended up going with Cobra. And I think the second part of this story is that's pretty interesting is it just shows that Cobra is making some really good stuff right now. Cobra, Puma Golf have really started to take over the last couple of years with some of their big pickups. You know, we got Bryson, we have Ricky, and now we have Duffner. And even Greg Norman still plays his Cobras. But looking at his bag, he's got a couple interesting things here. He's got some King Forged irons. He's got some of the new wedges that they have. It looks like a pitching wedge of 54 and 58 or something along the lines of that. He's got the new King Speed or F9. A three wood, and I think it looks like a hybrid, but either way, I mean, the fact that he's actually playing a full bag of Cobra just really shows how good their lineup is now. Actually, here's the actual stats of his stuff. So driver is a Cobra F9 speedback at 10.5 degrees. He has a Cobra three wood speed zone, 14.5 degrees, tipped to 43 inches. He has a seven wood, which is a Titleist 915 F2, so probably one of those ones that you know, he can't get out of the bag and just loves so much he has to keep in there. He has a 4-iron, that's the one of the King utilities, and then his irons are the Cobra King Forge CBs from 5 to pitching wedge with True Temper AMT Tour White S400s, and the last thing he has in his bag are Cobra Raw Customs 52, 56, and then a Cobra King MIM with 60 degrees. So playing pretty much a full bag of Cobra minus that 7-wood, but you know, congrats on Cobra with the big pickup. I mean, frankly, like, they've had some really awesome stuff out for a while, and now people are starting to notice, and really awesome to see that they're making a splash in the tour industry now that they're not part of Acushnet anymore. All right. And then now to some of the other news in terms of clubs that are coming out. This is the time of year where tour pros are starting to get a hold of some of the newer stuff from the club manufacturers, doing some testing and getting really just a taste of what's to come. So in terms of what is to come, we have some new MBs that are from, I think these are Callaways. So some new Apex MBs. These are particularly interesting, one because they have a screw kind of in the middle of the back of the club. It looks like Aaron Wise was playing these, and it's interesting for a couple reasons. Like, we started to see this, I think, a little bit more with some of the other manufacturers, where they're starting to, instead of having just a pure blade where it's one piece of metal, they're starting to take, you know, tungsten and different weighting materials and putting them, you know, either injecting them into the club somehow. The new Tiger Woods P7s have that, where they basically bored a hole into the side, put a tungsten weight in, and then kind of sealed it up so that it doesn't look like it's there anymore. But I've seen a couple of companies that are starting to do this, and it's interesting because I wonder if it's a feel thing. I wonder if it's, you know, moving the sweet spot out from near the hosel, because for those of you who don't know, you know, when you get a traditional blade, the sweet spot is more towards the hosel. So maybe they're trying to move that out. I mean, who really knows? But they're putting a little more technology into these. We have seen this also with Muras before. So Mura has like a blade-ish iron that has this in it. So when I took a look at these, I thought, wow, this looks like a Mura. Maybe Callaway's taken over from Mura or something like that. There also, I believe, there's another one from, where is it? I think Francesco Molinari, I think, had some prototype MBs as well lately, but that's pretty much it. Oh, and then the last thing is the center weight kind of reminds me of actually my current irons, which are the 2011 TPMB blades. It kind of has that like little screw in the back of it. So interesting to see that people are going back to some of these older designs, but you know, I wonder if they're going to come out with to the public, because I love my TPMBs, and if I can find something similar that has a similar feel, you know, I would definitely be open to going that direction. All right. Next up, we got some Mizuno news. So Mizuno has officially come out with their ST200 fairways and ST200X hybrids. They kind of look similar to the ST180 series that they had previously. Really not much to comment on. Like, in terms of the looks of these, like the bottom of them, unless you really pointed it out to me, I couldn't really tell a difference. They kind of got that V shape from the back. They have those waves in the very bottom front of it, where it's like kind of that speed slot technology, it looks like. Not really many shots from the top line, so I couldn't tell you what it looks like from the top. But pretty interesting there. And then Also, they came out with the drivers. So there's the 200 ST200, 200X, and 200G. That has to do with the weighting in it. So the 200G has those like weights that you can move back or forward on either side. The 200 does not have any weighting whatsoever except for a weight in the back port. And then the 200X, I believe, is their low spin version. Let me read a little bit about this. But, you know, since, you know, Mizuno is Japan-based, you know, we did see a couple of these out at the Zozo Championship. So it was a good opportunity for some of those players to get some feedback for the team there. But, you know, Mizuno, I think, has done a really good job with their woods in the last couple of generations. I'm really glad they've gone away from the blue. But excited to see, you know, what they have to come out with this stuff. And it's a really tempting offer. Like, it's not going to be as expensive as some of the TaylorMade stuff. So if you can get your hands on it, I give it a shot for sure. All right. And then back to the Cobra news. So Cobra, instead of the F9, will be replacing that with the Cobra Speed Zone and Speed Zone Extreme drivers. Looking at the driver, they look kind of similar to the F9, where they have that yellow on the bottom, where it's more of an elongated club. And, you know, they got the milled face like they do last time, but they have something called Infinity Face. I'm not entirely sure what it means and what the difference is, but there's an infinity mark in the middle of the club face. So clearly they're trying to do something with that there. Honestly, like, this looks like an updated version of the F9, which apparently was a very good driver. I hadn't hit it myself, so I couldn't tell you, but apparently it's a pretty solid driver. So, you know, hopefully they can take and iterate off of that and at least, you know, keep it as good, if not better, than the previous model. In terms of the specs, it'll come in a couple different heads for just the regular speed zone. So you'll have a 10.5 degree and a 9 degree for the Speed Zone Extreme. You'll have a 12.5, which is the women's version, the 12 degree, a 10.5, and a 9.5, and a 9. All models in the Extreme will come with a 44.5 shaft, so nothing crazy long, which is kind of surprising. And then with the 14 gram weight in the back to dial in swing speed. So, you know, no matter what, I think go try it out, go to your club fitter, see if it works for you. If not, don't worry about it. There's always a bunch of good options, but at least Cobra's coming out with something a little interesting in this space. And then on top of the Speed Zone drivers, we also have the Speed Zone irons. So these really look like, just some, you know, your standard cavity back player improvement irons, as well as some hybrids. I don't think there's really anything to talk about here. I mean, they look like pretty similar to what you would see from TaylorMade or Callaway from the game improvement perspective. I'm kind of getting sick of the yellow, if I'm honest. I don't really like the yellow. I would rather just keep the standard colors, the black, the red, the gray. And then for our last story, and I left the most exciting one for last, the Vokey SM8s. So for those of you who aren't familiar, Vokey goes, so the Vokey's numbers go up every edition. So last year we had the SM7s. SM stands for spin milled, and 8 is kind of the generation of it. What I think is really curious about these is that they kind of went away from the standard design of the Vokeys in terms of like the styling off the back. So if you look at it, it's almost like they, you know, took something from like the, I can't remember what the last iteration of blades before the Tiger ones were from TaylorMade, but they have that kind of like milled piece there. So in that same area, what they did is they actually put the SM8 Vokey design piece in there. So they kind of took away, they took away the spin mold logo, they took away the traditional place where they to put Vokey and the stamping. And honestly, like, I'm not the biggest fan of the way it looks from the back, but you know, typically you're not looking at that from setup, so I'm not really concerned about that. You know, I've played Vokeys for years. I have a SM5, two SM5s that I've, you know, always keep for my 58 degrees. You know, I have one SM5 that, you know, once I wear that down, I have an SM5 to replace it. And so, you know, for me, if I find something that works for me, I like to stick with it. I mean, I'll definitely try these out if I have the ability to, but you know, we'll see. I don't like the way they look from the back, but it's hard to argue with. You know, you're not going to be looking at it when you're looking down at the ball. So, what Titleist is really saying about this is there's a new milling technique for the grooves. I mean, I think a lot of this stuff can really be fluff, except for the mass shifting stuff. From what I've seen from the mass shifting stuff, we're moving different weight across the blade for different heights is really just like trying to get the trajectory a little bit better for a lot of these wedges. I know there was some issues with the SM4s and SM5s where people thought they were going too high. Personally, I don't have that issue, so I'm not concerned, but I could see where people are coming from there. In terms of the availability, it looks like they are going to be somewhere around the 46 to 62 degrees with all the different grinds that you know and love from Titleist, you know, from the M grind, K grind, S grind, I mean, the F grind, there'll be everything. So something for everyone there, but expect to see that in golf shops sometime within the next year. Awesome. Well, that's all I have for you guys this week on the Stingers and Dingers podcast. If you liked it, please give us a rating. This will help people find this. But I hope you guys hit them long, hit them far. We'll talk to you next week. Peace.